If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones dropped more than 240 points in trading today on news that the Mortgage Bankers Association reported a record number of foreclosures last quarter. We'll have the closing numbers on Wall Street coming up in our business block. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is being criticized in connection with the recent firings of 8 federal prosecutors. There are allegations that the decision to fire the attorneys was politically motivated, although the U.S. attorneys are presidential appointees. Today, Gonzalez's top aide resigned. Some Democratic senators are calling for the attorney general's resignation. Gonzalez responded this afternoon in a press conference. He admitted that the U.S. attorney firings were, quote, mishandled. He said he accepted responsibility but will not, quote, give up. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Peter Pace, expressed regret but is standing by his controversial comments about homosexuality. He said he should have focused less on his personal moral views and more on the Defense Department policy. In a newspaper interview, he called homosexual behavior immoral and compared it to adultery. Some gay advocacy groups and members of Congress are calling for an apology. President Bush made his last stop on his trip to Latin America today with a visit to Mexico. He met with Mexican President Felipe Calderon, and the two promised to work on rebuilding U.S.-Mexico relations, which have been strained over the issue of illegal immigration. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, a Shiite, visited Ramadi today, a Sunni insurgent stronghold 70 miles west of Baghdad. Traveling with a heavy security force, it was his first trip to the volatile Anbar province. At a 65-nation conference on disarmament in Geneva today, the U.S. and Israeli delegations walked out after Iran's foreign minister accused the two nations of posing the main threats to Middle East security. Somalia's president was unhurt in an attack on a palace today in the capital of Mogadishu. Militants fired mortars at the structure, killing a 12-year-old boy. The British Foreign Secretary reports that 5 Europeans abducted in a remote region of Ethiopia nearly 2 weeks ago have been released today in good health. Democratic Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota, who suffered a brain hemorrhage in December, issued his first statement and photos today. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
A congressional panel heard testimony today about how the Veterans Administration and its benefits program are overwhelmed by the number of claims from injured troops returning from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Ohio lawmakers are considering a bill that would require fluorescent green license plates for the cars of sexual predators. The ACLU calls the proposal political grandstanding. The video sharing website YouTube and its parent Google are being sued by Viacom for $1 billion. Viacom claims widespread copyright infringement from the 160,000 unauthorized video clips YouTube has displayed. The Commerce Department reports that retail sales were up 0.1% in February after experiencing a flat January. Investment bank Goldman Sachs reported a record-setting first quarter profit of $3.2 billion, which was a 29% increase. In the last quarter of 2006, the number of late mortgage payments went up to a 3.5-year high. Also, the number of new foreclosures rose to a record high, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. Light sweet crude is trading at $57.93 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 243 points at 12,075. The NASDAQ was down 52, S&P 500 down 29. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The 13th day of March, and we are at it again. I'm Bob Kincaid, glad to be with you. This afternoon, this evening, this morning, or whatever it happens to be, wherever you happen to be. I suppose it would, it almost goes without saying that the number one story today, the top story, the story getting all the attention, I don't see how it could be anything but the strange woman who walked away with the baby from the hospital and, no, I'm kidding. Now, the top story today really has to be the Alberto, what did our good friend Bruce Birch call it? El Torturador Gonzalez and his Stalinist purge of the United States attorneys. How could it be any other story? Well, it could be Peter Pace turning out to be a benighted, bigoted, prejudiced, bloodthirsty fool. It could be that, too. But I think it has to be Alberto Gonzalez and his attempt to... what were they trying to do? I've read the article several times over, and for all I can figure, this was just a naked attempt to display raw power. The story as it is developing now, and it continues to develop, and there may be an entirely separate story by the time this program ends tonight, because these people changed their lives by the minute. But the story as it develops now would tend to indicate that a couple of years ago, Harriet Myers, you remember Harriet, who was White House counsel, and in between writing notes to George Bush saying, "You're just wonderful," Harriet Myers orchestrated a plan and basically, you know, sent a memo over saying, you know, now that we're starting the new administration, can we fire all the U.S. attorneys just for the hell of it? All of them, all 93. Want them gone. Gonna fire them all. And that even the Justice Department, the Gonzalez, or what may have been, I'm not certain, may have been, no, it had to be the Gonzalez Justice Department, even they wrote back and said, "Harriet, what are you smoking, baby?" That would throw the administration of the federal justice system into absolute and utter chaos. And one gets the impression that Harriet stomped her
her expensive little pump on the floor and said, well, we have to fire some. We have to prove that we can fire people. Because we're not... And so then this list of 7, 9, who knows how many were on the list originally? Federal prosecutors whom people like Senator Pete Domenici had been griping at the White House about. He's not persecuting the Democrats enough. We got voter fraud in New Mexico. This list was developed. Now, bear in mind, this is the reason this is so weird and so sleazy is because we are not talking here about the persecution of hardcore Democrats, at least not on the surface. Apparently, in the New Mexico case, perhaps in others, the underlying raison had to do with not persecuting Democrats enough to suit the Bush administration. And yes, I know which word I'm using. I'm using persecuting for a reason. I know the difference between persecution and prosecution. Thank you. But on the surface, all of these U.S. attorneys were good, lockstep, goose-stepping Bushistas, Bushevics. Every last one of these people was selected in the first Bush administration for their ability to do the bidding of the Bush administration and do it without batting an eye, and it was yes, sir, and how high. David Iglesias, who was thrown to the wolves from New Mexico, as good a Bush soldier as there was, his performance rating and the rating of the U.S. attorney from the Eastern District of Washington were both exceptional. The Bush administration wanted to, they had to exercise their muscles somewhere and make an example of people who did not do exactly and to the letter the level of evil and misfeasance and malfeasance demanded as the mark of loyalty by the Bush administration. There are a lot of words you can use to describe this little pogrom. Pogrom is one of the words you can use. Purge. Putsch. And they all come from ugly, ugly places in our history. Our history as a people. Our history as humans. Our history of human institutions. And it is exactly the same thing as what the White House did. Now, earlier today, from Mexico, they hustled Dan Bartlett, White House advisor, out before the microphones to explain why it was felt by the White House that this purge needed to be performed. And it never ceases to amaze me what happens when these people start talking about their true feelings and about what they really desire out of their world. Because in describing the reason for all of this, Dan Bartlett said the president wanted fresh blood. I'm not kidding. I have no cause to lie about this. They're his words, not mine. But any time this administration starts talking about what it really, really wants in the world, they will go to either analogies with sex, or in this case, death. and sacrifice. Dan Bartlett actually stood there before the cameras and said that these firings were needed in order to get fresh blood for the president. Really? And he gave a variety of other little, you know, sort of niggling reasons for this to be. But at the bottom line, it was done. The fresh blood was called for because George Bush wasn't getting after or getting to go after Democrats in partisan political thuggery and hackery in these particular U.S. attorneys' states like he felt he wanted to. Because these political prosecutions for the so-called voter fraud would have served in the Rovian game that is constantly being played at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, would have served as a counterpoint to the legitimate, proven complaints and grievances that America has with Republican vote rigging via electronic voting devices. It would have proven the White House able to say, well, see, as everybody does it, it's not just Republicans. Them Democrats is out there voter frauding. Out in New Mexico, they was Indians voting 4, 5, 6 times. Of course, the two things aren't equal. But they would have complained that they were, just as, I forget who the idiotic woman that I think it was MSNBC put up to debate the issue against some so-called Democratic strategist, who, when the issue was brought forward, could only respond to this purge by saying, well, you know how it is in the White House. There's always something. I mean, after all, when you guys had the White House, we caught you changing travel agents. It really, she couldn't get 15 seconds into her defense of the Bushes without bringing up what they like to call Travelgate, the biggest non-issue of any recent presidency. So the battle lines are drawn, I suppose. It's 17 and a half minutes after the hour. I look forward to hearing all of your thoughts this evening. The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877-4 head on. Email comes to bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. You are listening to America's liberal voice. You are listening to the horn.
Just wrap me up in chains. But if you try to go alone, don't think I'll understand. Stay with me. Stay. Silence of your room in the
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. If we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
That's the Big Dipper.
All right, 22 minutes after the hour, and we return for, I don't see, where do we want to go? I want to catch up with something, if you don't mind, please. During yesterday's show, I pointed out that the words regime change, as in, it is the stated policy of the United States government that regime change shall take place in Iraq, and what we really need is regime change in Iran. I pointed out that there wasn't just a lot of difference between the ultimate effect of regime change and using words like wipe so-and-so off the map. I get the idea sometimes that foreign policy is conducted in the White House, and the conversations go a little like, well, I've got Saddam in the billiard room with the lead pipe. Then it's Ahmadinejad in the library with the enriched uranium. Only the game that they're playing in the White House isn't Clue, it's Clueless. And lo and behold, our good friend CB fired along a very interesting article from Global Research. An article by a gentleman, I assume,
gender doesn't exactly jump right out at you in these names, a person by the name of Arash Norouzi of something called the Mossadegh Project. This is at globalresearch.ca. And it has to do with that phrase that has been ballyhooed and bruited about, in which Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, delivering a speech on October the 25th, 2005, at the Ministry of Interior Conference Hall in Tehran, is alleged to have said that he wants Israel wiped off the map. And you can't turn around and without hearing it. I got it in dinner table conversation, or actually bar conversation, a couple of nights ago. Well, the reason we're so nervous, because I posed the same question I posed to anybody who brings up Iran. If Israel has 200 nuclear weapons and Pakistan has a boatload of nuclear weapons, and they both belong to religions or factions that despise the Shia in Iran, and India, the world's largest democracy, has a bunch of nuclear weapons, all of which could turn all of Iran to a great big sort of impressionist postmodern art piece of ceramic, why are we having such a purple polka-dotted screaming hissy fit over the idea of Iran having one nuclear device 10 years from now? Because the hissy doesn't make sense. And the response I got two nights ago was, well, Iran has said that they will, the minute they get one, they will use it. And I had to look at the guy and say, where are you getting your information? You're just wrong. And lo and behold, and this is always something that bothers me when we're dealing with language and translation, especially languages that aren't particularly related to English, at least not closely. You know, there's a decently close relationship between French and English, German and English, Spanish and English, because 70% of the words in the English language are derived from Latin. Same for French, same for Spanish, same for Italian, albeit more so. And English is derived directly, almost directly from structurally, German. So you know that you can get something approaching a reasonable translation from one language to the other. But I always wondered if it didn't get a little bit dicey when we were talking about translations from, say, Arabic or, you know, Chinese, Mandarin, the Sichuan, Kung Pao, you know, whatever. And it turns out that my misgiving is entirely was entirely confirmed. So what you have is this quotation by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of the Ayatollah Khomeini that he wanted Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Now, I do not speak Farsi, the language of Iran, but I'm going to try to read it as it exists on this page. It turns out that what Ahmadinejad said was, and I quote, "Imam goft in regime ishgargar ekodz bayad az safhe I ruzgar mav shavad." I know, in the conservatory with the ball bat. But as the author of this article points out, there is one word in there that will speak, that would be recognizable to all of us, regime. It means the same thing in English, regime. And what it, so the actual translation, the word map does not appear anywhere in there.
And the actual translation is, the imam said this regime occupying Jerusalem must vanish from the page of time. And the author goes so far as to break it down word by word. Imam, meaning Ayatollah Khomeini, Goft said, in this regime, Ishgalgar A, occupying Kodes, Jerusalem, Bayad must, as Safane Yeruzgar, from the page of time, Mavshavad vanish from. Because apparently, distant kin to these languages, apparently they like to hang their verbs on the end of the sentence. You know, it would be like, I to the movies will go. So lo and behold, wipe Israel off the map does not exist in the sentence. You want to read the whole thing, and it's quite worth your time. Go to globalresearch.ca and search the site for wiped off the map. And the author again is Arash, A-R-A-S-H, Noruzi, N-O-R-O-U-Z-I. It's a little bit geeky and scholarly, but by the same token, it's the absence of geekiness and the absence of scholarship that has gotten us in this bind. Because we all just sit around and take it as gospel that, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he's an engineer, he's been to college and stuff, he must be crazy! Because all those Persians, they're just sitting around, and they're crazy, and they get up in the morning and they say, Dear Allah, please kill the Jews, and then they have their breakfast. That's all they think about. They're just obsessed with Jew killing. And I'm sure that there is an element there that is obsessed with Jew killing. Just like in the United States, there is an element of our society that is obsessed with Jew killing. Over here, we call them fundamentalist Christians. Yep, when Jesus comes back, He's going to give every Jew a chance to profess Him as Lord, and if they don't, He's going to have us, His followers, to put them to the sword. Yeah! So the next time you hear some talking head, some damned fool, like, Wolf Blitzer, or Tucker Carlson, or Britt Hume, or O'Reilly, or Hannity, or any of these right-wing goober freaks say that, Iran is a special circumstance because they have already declared that Israel must be wiped off the map. You can think back and say, thanks to the fact that I listened to the horn, I know that that is absolute barnyard matter. I know that that's garbage. I know that that is crap. Because when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made that speech, not once did he even use the word map. He did what the United States does all the time. He called for regime change in Jerusalem. I knew there was a reason we had to pay attention to the translations. I knew there was a reason to have people who were actually schooled in those in what are deemed in this country fairly exotic languages. But of course, this could have come out, say, from some military language scholar could have figured this out instead of someone off in Canada. But it turns out that even if you're the best language scholar in the entire military of the United States, if you don't have sex the right way, you can't be a translator, as is the as was the case with 35. 35, count them, 35, because, you know, we're just overflowing with Arabic military translators. 35 of them were canned because they didn't have sex the way Peter Pace likes to have sex. I don't even want to think about it. And we're going to talk about that story, too. And we're going to do it when we come back. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. You're listening to America's liberal voice, and you are encouraged and invited to make that voice your voice at 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, Head On. We'll be right back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11. Right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Pepper music I recognize. A reminder for you. No, it's not a reminder. I haven't told you before. God, sometimes I get caught in this radio speak, and I hate myself for it. Just going to let you know that we'll be having a guest on the program this evening in the final hour of the program, shortly after 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And I always get nervous when I go ahead and pre-pitch a guest, because I'm always nervous as to whether or not they're actually going to be there. 9 times out of 10 they are, but I feel like a real monkey when they're not. But at any rate, this evening in the third hour of the program, we are going to be joined by Paul Waldman. Mr. Waldman is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, who has just released a new report called If It's Sunday, It's Still Conservative, documenting the fact that it doesn't matter to the networks who's in power. You know, the Republicans control the White House, the Republicans control Congress, so therefore on the Sunday blab fests you would expect to see, what, Republicans. But lo and behold, we've got the Congress now. Bush is on the run. 29, that whopping 29% of weirdos who believe that, you know, crackers turn into meat and that the Jesus is coming back in his holy rolls and wars against Iraq are really cool. 29% of that, of the American people, roughly those people, still believe he's doing an A1 Jim Dandy job as President of the United States. And still, the Sunday blab fests are wall-to-wall repig. As the report documents, among other things, right after the Democratic takeover of the Congress, who did Tim Russert have on meet the street corner hookers? No, that's being mean to hookers to compare them to Tim Russert. The hookers have class. No, but Russert had John McCain and Joseph Lieberman, neither of whom, curiously, commenting on the takeover of Congress, mind you, and neither of whom are curiously, or non-curiously, incuriously, neither of whom are Democrats. So we'll be talking about it all in the third hour with Paul Waldman, senior fellow from Media Matters for America. So let's see. We've got Gonzalez out of the way. No, we haven't gotten him out of the way yet, but we're gonna. We have discussed the big lie of wiping Israel off the map, which never got said. And what I'd like to do now is address this other sort of kind of, yeah, really icky, disgusting comment. I have been suspicious of General Peter Pace since his appointment as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Every now and then he showed a little bit of initiative and personal freedom. But you've got to realize that you don't get the kind of jewelry that Peter Pace wears on his costume without without you've curried some favor with the civilian brass. And apparently he has done an A1 job of being a Bush administration lick, spittle, and suck up. Because in a meeting with the Chicago Tribune editorial board,
He just came right out and said, I believe homosexual acts between two individuals are immoral and that we should not condone immoral acts. I do not believe the United States is well served by a policy that says it is okay to be immoral in any way. Every soldier, sailor, or airman under my command must have sex in the way that I approve. Now, I didn't say that last part. But that's the upshot of it. He compares two people of the same gender who happen to love each other with all their hearts with one member of the military getting it on with another member of the military's wife. Adultery, fornication, whatever. And displays a shocking lack of perspective, of humanity. And for this guy, on whose words babies have been splattered against walls, to describe a sex act, any sex act, between consenting adults as immoral, sort of makes you question the dude's sanity, doesn't it? I believe homosexual acts between two individuals are immoral and that we should not condone immoral acts. Then resign your commission, General Pace. Do it now. Throw those stars on your shoulder boards down on the steps of the Pentagon and grind them beneath your boot, because you have been responsible for more immorality on this little, sweet little blue-green orb, time-traveling and hurtling through the universe, than virtually any other person on the planet, you son of a bitch, you. Peter Pace, opining on morality. Hey, Peter, let's talk about the morality of what went down, last week in Afghanistan? The six-month-old, the two-month-old, the three-year-old, the five-year-old, all, Peter Pace, all of them dead at your approval. You go to hell, Peter Pace. You go straight to hell. I'm sorry, I feel that way. The idea of a guy whose profession is killing people talking about morality, that's indicia of a country that has real problems, real schizophrenic problems. Real problems holding on to something approaching, again, that word, perspective. Let's go to the phones. Wayne joins us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You, man?
I'm doing good. That, you know, very good point about the morality thing. I mean, my God. But, you know, it just shows you the intelligence of these people. But I gotta tell you this quick, man.
All right.
I'm on my way home. I want to get home, listen to the show, make dinner, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, that station that used to be on, you know, our good friend Michael Wiener is on.
Oh, yeah, the Savage Wiener.
Right, you know. So, you know, I'm listening. I'm driving down the road. Guy calls him up. Michael, I've had it. I've had it. I'm sick and tired. You have to stop. Stop what? Bashing Bush. You have to stop bashing Bush or we're going to end up with a Democratic president if you don't stop bashing Bush. What do you mean? Wiener says. He said, well, how'd you like to have Nancy Pelosi as president? And Wiener says, what would she do that Bush hasn't done? And the guy goes, how about taking your guns? Which shows you the intelligence of the other side, you know. And I'm yelling, have you read the Patriot Act, you idiot?
You moron.
These people could take away every right that you ever thought you had. What the hell do you think would stop them from taking your gun?
so they can have my guns when they pry them from my cold, dead fingers.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. They're still stuck on that one, you know. But
they're one-trick ponies, Wayne. I mean, if they God, guns, and gays.
There you go.
The
yeah,
three
Peter
G's.
Pace covered the gays.
Yeah.
And God's, that's God's morality, I guess, you know.
Yeah, right.
Even though,
yeah, we're just,
you know.
Yeah, we're just
smiting
them.
Going all that line, didn't he make the gays? Or she, whichever it may be.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Must have been
made him. I don't know. You know, if you listen to these right wingers, Wayne made the gay people because he was fresh out of people to hate on.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Absolutely amazing. They're absolutely amazing. But
well, what about yeah? What about the guns? What about the guns?
Yeah. What about? Oh, yeah. You know, I thought. You know, next. Well, then the guy hung up. You know, I was waiting to hear he was from West Virginia, but. I don't know. They're unbelievable.
Why, Wayne? Why can't we? And this is not to say that I want us ignorant like they are, because I don't. I cherish the intelligence of the audience of this and other wonderful liberal talk programs on the Horn. But why can't we come up with stuff like that? You know, immediately. I mean, Al Gore had no sooner said he was running than there was an entire Republican machine out there screaming, "Al Gore's going to take your guns."
Right.
You know, why can't we put something together so that, say, for instance, you know, whoever happens to get the Republican nomination will say, you know, he's going to take away your Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Something.
Because,
you know.
Yeah, because these people, Wayne, they really do take away stuff that matters.
How about habeas corpus?
Yeah, he's going to take away your Constitution.
Yeah, how about that? You know, that's a pretty big takeaway. That covers a lot of stuff. You know, how about the Bill of Rights? It's unbelievable. These people are unbelievable.
Well, I guess we don't have anybody like Charlton Heston to trot out and hold up the Constitution and say, you can have this when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers at the Raleigh County Armory.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think he is. But you know, interestingly,
kind of
he's
in
the
a vegetated state or something.
Yeah. And doesn't make public appearances anymore to part any seas or.
I mean, I don't want to. You know, I wouldn't wish any ill will on anybody or anything. But there will be no tear shed here.
No, you know, he's not got enough. I guess he, for all I know, he's laying there and he thinks the damn dirty apes have got their hands all over him.
Right. I mean, you know, I got to see him personally do that from my cold, dead hands thing.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, my feeling was, that's your choice. Whichever way you want it, pal.
But of course, there at the Armory, and this was, what, back in 2000? And
it was.
But when he delivered that stupid little diatribe, the knuckle walkers stood on their feet and cheered like it was a Nuremberg rally, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did. And there were hundreds of them. I mean, you know, they came from all over to see the goof, you know. Of course,
a lot of them
really think he was Moses.
Yeah, to see Moses talk about
guns. He was old enough.
That's funny. Because the Patriot Act really does let they can take away your guns, they can take away your rights, they can take away your rear end and put it in jail and forget you're there.
And don't even have to tell anybody.
Right.
Or tell you why you're there.
But the NRA? Crickets.
Yeah.
Quiet as can be.
Exactly. Did you see the market today?
You mean that 140-point plunge?
240.
Or 240, yeah.
Yeah. 240. It's just, you know.
Don't scare people. It was only a correction.
Well,
it was just a market correction.
But, you know, I'm concerned about, you know, we have a lot of friends that are invested and, you know, they call their brokers, oh, don't worry. There's nothing to worry about, you know. And, you know, there may be nothing to worry about in, you know, if you got 30 years to wait, but, you know, if you're in your 60s and you're waiting for retirement, well, I wouldn't have my money there, you know.
You're getting whacked if you're getting ready for retirement.
Yes. I mean, it's, well, the bubble's breaking, man, you know. I mean, the housing thing they've been talking about for years, and, I mean, this is, it's fantasy. It's fantasy, and it's catching up with us, you know. There are, I don't know how many, you know, mortgage companies are filing for bankruptcy and stuff like that, and, you know, people are going to get scared, and I think this thing is going to plunge seriously, and, you know, I worry about the money that my retirement fund has invested, but it's, I would be very cautious, very cautious.
Yeah. Right now, I'd say you've got about as good odds in Vegas as you do on Wall Street.
That's what I would say. And, you know, it's only the little people that lose the money. The brokers don't, you know. I mean,
No. That's the thing. You said a few minutes ago that people are calling their brokers and they're saying everything's fine. The brokers are saying it's all fine. It's all good. Mm-hmm. Well, for the brokers, it is all good.
Well, sure it is all good, you know.
They're going to make money one way or the other.
That's exactly right.
For those who have forgotten the lesson, Wayne, there were people, and we still to this day really don't know who it was, there were people who made a small fortune selling short on, what, American and United Airlines on September 10th.
Yes. What do they call them? Puts?
Yeah, put options.
Put options, yes. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? There's a great thing on Salon today about Rudy Giuliani.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the argument that Democrats should make. Well, their argument was Democrats should get together a swift boat team for him, too, because, you know, only, you know, those things are true. You know, Rudy Giuliani, you know, against everybody's advice, put the command center for the fire department and the police on the 23rd floor of the Twin Towers. I think it was Building 7. And so where everybody needed to get to the command center, guess what? You weren't allowed in.
Yeah.
And then it committed suicide, if you remember correctly.
Right.
Building
right,
7
did.
Right.
I saw today a release where the International Association of Firefighters, which has a you know, considerable membership,
yes,
is urging its membership to not. It's not. What's the name of it? It's not. Don't say no to Giuliani. Say hell no to Giuliani.
Yeah. Yeah, they. Well, that's in the Salon article. You know, they're not real happy. I mean, they were arguing with the guy for years to have radios that. You know, that they could communicate between fire department and police, and, you know, couldn't get them, wouldn't get them, and then testified before the 911 commission that the technology wasn't available, even though 240-some cities already had the technology, and firemen and police could talk to each other. So, not a good man. He's a crook.
Yeah, he is a crook.
He's a crook.
He's a philanderer.
Yes, he is.
You know, not that somebody's sex life doesn't bother me that much, Wayne. I figure it's a person's own business. But with all due respect, when you've got a revolving door to your bedroom, then you wonder if maybe it sort of clouds your judgment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's, you know, morality, and then there's honor. You know, yeah. Honor is, to me, is our oaths. And, you know, you get married, you take an oath. And he violated every oath he ever took, as far as I'm concerned, including the one about being the mayor.
So. It would appear that he and Newt Gingrich are sort of in a race to see who can philander more and faster.
Yeah, but we've forgiven Newt now, didn't we?
Well, James Dobson
did. Not Bill Clinton,
did.
But Newt, we've forgiven.
Right. Yeah, because Bill was evil. As James Dobson put it in the little interview last week, he had escapades while sweet little Newtie only had an affair.
Right.
I hate him. God, I can't help
They're
it.
They're funny,
Wayne.
Though.
They are.
They can be kind of entertaining in a way.
Well, they're funny. They're funny.
They weren't so damn dangerous.
Well, they're funny in the same way as that chimpanzee in the movie throwing dung at the TV camera is funny.
Right. Right.
Well, we got to hit the news. Wayne, thanks for calling, man. Good to hear from you.
Okay, pal. I'll be talking to you.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye. All right. To the news we go. Your phone calls when we come back, if you feel so inclined. Couple of lines open, 877-443-2366. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. U.S. financial markets took another tumble today. The Dow Jones Industrials lost more than 240 points as the Mortgage Brokers Association reported new foreclosures hit an all-time high in the last quarter of last year. We'll have the closing numbers on Wall Street later in the newscast. A top aide to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez resigned today in connection with the controversial firings of 8 federal prosecutors. Gonzalez, however, is rejecting calls for his own resignation. He says the dismissals were appropriate. Critics say the firings were politically motivated. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is not apologizing, as some gay advocacy groups had requested, after calling homosexual behavior immoral and comparing it to adultery. Marine General Peter Pace did say he regrets that he did not focus more on the Defense Department policy and less on his personal moral views. And President Bush made the last stop on his trip to Latin America today with a visit to Mexico. He met with Mexican President Felipe Calderon. The two promised to work on rebuilding relations strained over the issue of illegal immigration. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, a Shiite, visited Ramadi today, a Sunni insurgent stronghold near Baghdad. It was his first trip to the volatile Anbar province. U.S. and Israeli ministers walked out of a 65-nation conference on disarmament in Geneva today. They left after Iran's foreign minister accused the two nations of posing the main threats to Middle East security. Somalia's president was unscathed after militants fired mortars at his palace today in the capital, Mogadishu. The mortar fire did kill a 12-year-old boy. The British Foreign Secretary reports that 5 Europeans abducted in a remote region of Ethiopia nearly 2 weeks ago have been released today. A congressional panel heard testimony today about how the Veterans Administration's overwhelmed by the number of claims from injured troops returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. The panel was told the programs need to be streamlined. In Jerusalem, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert agreed against withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq. He said the move would lead to instability and reduce America's capacity to deal with Iran. This is Quality News Network.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his Letters Home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name, Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
The FDA has approved a new drug to help treat an aggressive form of advanced breast cancer. GlaxoSmithKline's drug Tycreb is meant for women who have had prior treatment that failed to stop their cancer. Ohio lawmakers are considering a bill that would require fluorescent green license plates for the cars of sexual predators. The ACLU calls the proposal political grandstanding. The Humane Society wants the Federal Trade Commission to fine retailers and designers who make clothing with real animal fur but label it as fake fur. A recent investigation by the Humane Society found that some products were made of dog, wolf, or raccoon fur from species found in China. Viacom is suing the video sharing website YouTube and its parent company Google for $1 billion. Viacom claims widespread copyright infringement from the 160,000 unauthorized video clips YouTube has displayed. In the last quarter of 2006, the number of late mortgage payments went up to a 3.5-year high. The number of new foreclosures rose to a record high, with one in 200 U.S. borrowers facing foreclosure now. Light sweet crude is trading at $57.93 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 243 points. The NASDAQ was down 52. The S&P down 29. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Where did you go? Again, with the radio speak. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's 6.5 minutes after the hour. During the news, I wander around and just check for updates, make sure nothing's blowing up that I'm not aware that, you know, I haven't seen. And I ran across, I reviewed the Gonzalez story again, just for good measure, to make sure that I hadn't missed anything, but something did occur to me. When it's language, you know, our good friend Wayne mentioned a couple of minutes ago that he was listening to the Savage Wiener on the way home, because, you know, there in Raleigh County, if you want to listen to something besides you know, the Eagles doing one of these nights again, one of these days, on an FM station that's basically a jukebox, or, you know, the country station, or what, if you want to then maybe get a little bit of news or whatever, you've got basically two choices on the AM dial. You've got the station that ditched me, or and is running Michael the Savage Wiener, because, you know, he's so relevant to West Virginia, this West Coast so-called conservative freak. Or you've got the Jesus Radio a few kilocycles down the dial, kilohertz, whatever. And the Savage Wiener always says, you know, it's about the borders, language, and culture. And to a certain extent, he's right. He just doesn't get it. It is about the language. And just as I said, anytime they get serious about something, the Bush administration has to go to either a bodily fluid, violence, or sex-related metaphor. Well, there's other things in the language, too. The quote from Alberto Gonzalez today was, these are his words, not mine, "Mistakes were made." Now, for anybody who ever had the active versus the passive voice explained to them by a good Latin teacher, or a good English teacher who said, you know, you avoid using the passive voice because it's not as strong as the active voice. Mistakes were made is passive. And while they make this headline, Gonzalez admits mistakes in prosecutors' firings. But that makes it sound like he acknowledged that he made mistakes.
Well, if you're acknowledging that you made the mistakes, then you don't say mistakes were made. You say, I made mistakes. Now, maybe some will think that I am nitpicking. I'm really, really not. There is a world of difference between those two phrases. I made mistakes versus mistakes were made. Mistakes were made is the classic indicia, or indicium, see, my Latin's failing me, of buck passing. It's exactly what it is. And, of course, there was reference in QNN's Top of the Hour News to General Peter Pumpkin Eater, or Peter Pace, and his comments saying that he wouldn't apologize. I won't apologize. I won't apologize. I'm a Marine. I don't apologize. I kill. Okay, that's over the top, Bob. But he's a Republican Marine. He doesn't apologize. That's our job. Barack Obama says that soldiers' lives have been wasted in Iraq. Barack Obama has to apologize. Dick Durbin says that what was done in Abu Ghraib looked like it was done by Nazis or by commies. He doesn't say that the soldiers were Nazis or the soldiers were commies. Just says it looks like that. He has to apologize. We apologize and apologize and apologize and apologize. On the other hand, the other side does not apologize. Alberto Gonzalez, Harriet Myers, all the way to the top at the White House, put together a politically motivated purge of U.S. district attorneys. They do not apologize. No, Gonzalez just threw his chief of staff or whatever the dude just throws him to the wolves. Yep, it's his fault. Because you see, he didn't adequately inform regarding the depth and extent of his contacts between the White House and the Justice Department, thereby causing the administration to give less than complete information to the Congress. You know, if the English language was a living, breathing, physical being, the way the Bush administration treats it, we would have found it outside in an alley somewhere in a bag, beaten to death. Caused them to give incomplete information to the Congress. In other words, they lied. And of course, there's the story on the stock sell-off. And again with the language, just give the who's teaching journalism in America anymore? Here's one of those sentences. They can't go three paragraphs without... And it's all tired. It's all used. It's worn out. It's been run over. It's been beat to death. CNNMoney.com senior writer Alexandra Twin. I think this was the woman who described the 500-point loss as a bloodbath a couple of weeks ago. The sell-off sent investors scurrying for safety, and Treasury prices jumped. Scurrying. Cockroaches scurry. Rats on board a sinking ship scurry. sell-off sent investors scurrying for safety. Is that what we think of people who have their pensions invested in the stock market, that they're just rats? Is that what CNN thinks of them? They're rats, they're cockroaches, they're ants. Because that's what scurries. The article talks about the effect that subprime lenders are having on the market. And, of course, this is nothing, you know, it, generally if we talk about predatory lending practices, we're talking about rent-to-own or payday lenders or title lenders. But now it's got its tentacles all the way into the stock market. And what, the nation's number two subprime lender declaring bankruptcy? You know, gee, I wonder if when the Democrats or when the Republicans and a handful of Democrats like Joe Biden got together to make sure that we reformed the bankruptcy laws, I wonder if they reformed bankruptcy laws for sleazy lenders. I'm guessing not. But they did reform it for people who have had cancer strike their breadwinner, or heart disease, or crippling diabetes, or car wrecks. They got reformed so that they can now lose their home to a credit card company, an unsecured creditor. Foreclosures are up to a shocking level now. And that's the kind of information, oh, well, foreclosures are up. Well, okay, back to you, Lou. Those are human beings. And we describe them as doing things like scurrying. And I can't, for the life of me, approve of or participate in that level of dehumanization. You going to participate in the program tonight? If you are, give me a call, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. You are listening to America's liberal voice. It's your voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Vlad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed in the giant book. She read about bears, monkeys, tigers, and rooks. She had so much fun, she forgot the water spout and crawled to her library to see what else she could check out. If you like animals on the wild side, crawl on over to your local public library and check out Creature Feature, the summer reading program for teens.
Are you one of the 32 million people that take prescription medications? If you are, you might be affected by dry mouth and be surprised by sudden and rapid development of tooth decay. Dry mouth reduces saliva, making it difficult to swallow or speak, and can contribute to problems such as gum disease and oral infections. Talk to your general dentist today about your treatment options. Visit the Academy of General Dentistry at www.agd.org or call 1-877-2X-A-YEAR. For the Academy of General Dentistry, I'm Dr. Carl Jenkins.
There's a hole in the world tonight. There's a cloud of fear and sorrow. There's a hole in the world tonight. Don't let there be a hole in the world tomorrow.
All right, and we go straight to the phones. Phil's been holding. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi, Bob. Yes, thank you. I'm glad you read the wiped off the map, the rumor of the century, from, what was it, globalresearch.ca.
Yes.
And I went there, and I found it quite easily. You get to their homepage, and on the right-hand column, there's a section that says, upcoming war with Iran or something to that effect. Click on it and it'll get you right to this. And I printed it out and I'm thinking, it's so damn frustrating, you know, in that conversation you had with the fella. Well, he's, you know, how the American public's misinformed by mm-hmm. this media, and that, you know, it necessitates us to be the media ourselves. And what I am going to do with this that I just printed out, wiped off the map, the rumor of the century, I'm going to, it's 7 pages, I'm going to put it in an envelope and send it to the local editor of the local newspaper with a note saying, please, you know, before these guys start a war with Iran, please set the record straight on this quote. We, you know, the American people are being misinformed, and, you know, you ethically have a responsibility to set the record straight, and I would like a response from you back, and throw that in the mail. And that's something we can do. You know, we've got to do things like this.
Well, Phil, the idea of a free press seems to me to be
an idea.
On the idea that... Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's premised on an idea that there is a minimum standard of integrity and honesty.
Yes.
And it would appear from the hullabaloo and you know, where did this translation of wiped off the map come from?
The same place that weapons of mass destruction came from.
Precisely.
Without a doubt.
Precisely. And see, these guys, these thugs, these crooks, these criminals, Phil, they're set in their ways.
Yes.
They do it. They do the same thing again and again and again. In other words, weapons of mass destruction was the lie that we were handed to justify going into Iraq. and working true to form and typical pattern and practice of their behavior, they have another lie ginned up to suffice for casus belli for the Iran war. And in this instance, it's wiped off the map. Weapons of mass destruction wiped off the map.
And they've been using this for a number of months now, and we are really close to these guys actually doing it. People are forgetting that they still have those naval carrier groups sitting over there. They still have the B-2 bombers that were, you know, flown over to bases closer to Iran.
Yeah, Diego Garcia is just chock-a-block with B-52s.
Yes. So, you know, this stuff is real, people, and we're not getting further away from it. We're getting closer to it. So we have to... These are things we can do. People listen... I mean, you did your part by pointing out this piece, right, on the show tonight. And then those of us who are listening, anyone listening to the horn is a concerned citizen, you know. And it's like you and I had a conversation the other night where 70% of the people surveyed, you know, want out of Iraq. And then my comment back to you was, yes, but how many of that 70% go further than answering the survey? You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. And the numbers have changed. There's new survey data out that indicates that on the one, first of all, only 29% of the American people think that things are good for the U.S. in Iraq, okay?
Mm.
And 56% of the American people now firmly believe that the Bush administration deliberately led us into this war on falsehoods. Now,
yes.
at what point, you know, Bill Clinton having sex with Monica never rose to 56%.
Right.
Okay.
My point is that we have to take the information, like, we have to go beyond answering the survey. I mean, we have to act, you know, and, like, this is a perfect example. If people listening tonight go to, you know, globalresearch.ca and find this wiped off the map, the rumor of the century article by Arash Norazuri, whatever, you know, and print it out, get an envelope, look up the address for your local newspaper, address it to the editor, and say, look, you know, you didn't report on the, you didn't do your job leading up to Iraq. They're telling lies to Iran. I want you to set the record straight, and I expect a response from you. Here's my name, telephone number, and address. And I think it would take maybe half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour tops for any one of us to do that. And then plop it in the mailbox tomorrow. I mean,
it's a good idea.
That's what I'm
Bill.
Saying. You know, will that change the world? I don't know. Perhaps it will get one editor to actually look at this. I think the people in the news business, too, everybody's stripped down thin, overloaded, you know, conditioned to, you know, I mean, we just have to start calling people on it, you know, and, I like the idea of the DVDs. I'm glad Wayne and yourself were talking about Giuliani and 9/11, you know. And for people who are still having a hard time getting their head around the idea that, you know, perhaps there are elements of our government or people within the United States that had a hand in 9/11, man, get past it. Get past it. Look into it, you know. Stop resisting it because... there's too much information out there, you know, and just pass it on. Let people decide for themselves. But if you know this kind of research is out there and this kind of information is out there, you know, and you know it now if you're listening to me talking, you know, pass it on to people. You know, we can at least do that. We don't have to sell them. We don't have to, but we can at least, I know you got other callers, but, the fire department. Here's one more thing. The article that Wayne mentioned on Salon about mm-hmm. Giuliani and the fire union. Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
So while I'm listening to the show, I looked up the article on Salon, and it said, the first line or two, it said that Giuliani was in South Carolina visiting, you know, a firehouse down there to loud applause and everything, because they'd still think he's, you know, the hero, because that's what the corporate media sells. And the article said they don't know that the largest union in New York City is against him, blah, blah, blah. So what can I do? I can print that out, too, and I can recommend, you know, I have some of these 9/11 DVDs, you know, like 9/11 Part 1 Demolitions, you know, which shows these guys, fellow firefighters, getting killed by these towers coming down. And I can actually print this thing out, make a copy of that, or at least recommend the DVD, and send it to the local firehouse. And if I don't want to be known, I can just not even have a return address on it. Just address it to the firehouse and write the letter anonymously, you know, and put it in there. And that's one more thing we can do, and that'll take 20 minutes, you know, to do. To print it out, get an envelope, look up the firehouse address in the phone book, and write a little note, you know. I think you guys should know about this, you know, this your fellow firefighters died, and here's some information you may not know of, and just drop it in the mail. And that's 20. If we can do these things, Bob, you know, not make a career out of it, but if every one of us did one of these 20 or 30 minute exercises every now and then, you know, maybe, you know, you listen to the horn one night and you say, okay, one night a week listening to the horn, I'm going to approach it like this. It could, you know, it's going to go a longer way than not doing anything. If that made any sense.
That does make plenty of sense. Activism, we define activism frequently, Phil, by talking about, oh well, we need to go to a march, and there's going to be a huge march.
Yes, this Saturday.
In Washington, D.C. this Saturday. I wish I could be there.
And there'll be plenty all over the country too. And you're,
yeah,
you're just. Yes.
So, you know, commemorations of the beginning of this hellish war. But we tend to think that somehow, if we attend one of those, well, you know, we're activists. We've done our part. But it's
same
the small working. Stuff. It's,
no, we
it's
gotta
the stuff
inform our
do.
Fellows. And we gotta,
yeah,
like, you know, like that guy you saw in the restaurant or the bar the other night. You know, he's a terribly misinformed guy, but you can't blame him because, you know, like most of America, we're misinformed. So those of us that are informed, you know, we got an obligation. I know I interrupted you again. And
No, please, go ahead.
One more thing that I do with this, you know, I take your articles and I make flyers out of them. You know, I'll copy and paste something. And I often get a lot off the horn, too. You know, the horn's webpage, the News Ninjas and Susan. You guys are fantastic, what you're putting up there. So, anyway, I take junk mail, and everybody gets junk mail, and I keep the return envelopes, you know, the postage page return envelopes.
I swear
to God, I'll put 9/11 truth flyers in there, or Downing Street, after Downing Street minutes, you know, or impeach stuff. And, you know, again, I have a printer, you know, I got a laser printer. You know, a ream of paper, 500 sheets, costs $3, right? And this
yeah.
is something I can do. And I'll print a bunch of flyers, and I stuff these return envelope things, you know, and then I put them in the mailbox. You know, and somebody's got to open them up on the other end, and there's someone else you might, you know. We've got to do things like this. You know, and as far as the 9/11 folks, I don't want to turn this into a 9/11 show, but I got woken up, and I'm obligated to spread the word and say, hey, look, I'm not saying what you should believe, but at least look at this stuff. There's this, I made these little labels, you know, the return address labels that you use, the 1/2 inch by 1 3/4 or whatever, and I put Americans are waking up, and then underneath that, www.911weknow.com. You know how I found out about that, Bob?
How?
Barbara Streisand's husband is an actor, James Brolin. You know,
yes.
He plays the tough guy all the time, the general, the, you know. He was on this TV show called The View, you know, with Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters or whatever, and he's on there talking, and he said on national TV, he said, oh, and one more thing, I want you all to have a look at, you know, www.911weknow.com, and I'll talk to you sometime soon. And you know, he didn't say to believe anything. He just gave the website, check it out. And you know what? I checked it out, and now I feel obligated to pass it along, because this is stuff that the corporate media is not going to pass on, because they're, you know, I believe they're part of the cover-up. So, you know,
yeah.
I know I really took this off on a tangent.
No, that's okay, but we do have to roll on.
Okay.
We gotta, yeah, gotta hit some more phone calls. Phil, it's always such a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Same here, Bob. Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, you're welcome. We all can do a little bit. We all can do stuff like this.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Bye now. It goes back to that children's story, Stone Soup. You ever read it? It's a great parable. A guy sets out, promises the village he's going to make them stone soup. And he's got water and stones. And he says, you know, stone soup is wonderful, but it's better with onions. And a peasant lady says, I have some onions. And he says, you know, stone soup with onions is really delicious, but it really kicks it up a notch. Oh, see, Food Network. It really kicks it up a notch when you got some carrots. And an old fellow's got some carrots. Stone soup is wonderful with onions and carrots, but it's really, really good when you've got some potatoes. And somebody else has potatoes. And pretty soon, what started out as stones and water, if I recall the story correctly, becomes a beautiful, beautiful pot of soup fit to feed an entire community. That's what Phil's talking about. You don't need to spend a bunch of money to be an activist. You don't need to go broke to care about your country. It's as little as the cost of a phone call. It's the time you take sending an email. It's talking to your neighbor. It's the conversation I had with the dude who thought that you know, Iran done said they get their, when it meant they get a nuke, they're going to nuke Israel. They said it. It's proven. And I just looked there quietly. No, it's not. No such thing. It is possible to be an activist and to have being an activist be a very easy thing to do. And out of it, you get something precious. You get a clear conscience. We'll take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is your voice, America's liberal voice, the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Keating.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Congress is preparing to get involved in last week's case where nearly 200 children were left abandoned after an immigration raid in Massachusetts. Jesse Russell has more.
During a Sunday meeting with family members of some of the 361 alleged illegal immigrants who were rounded up last week in New Bedford, Representative William Delahunt called the policies of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement total chaos. He was joined by Senators Edward Kennedy and John Kerry and Representative Barney Frank. During the meeting, Frank said there was no excuse for there not being absolutely 100% certain that children would not be victims. Delahunt said there will be congressional investigation into the raids. Last week, Governor Deval Patrick criticized the way the ICE conducted the raid, saying that the organization took too long providing information to the state. Last Tuesday, the raid was conducted on Michael Bianco Incorporated, a company that has received a government contract to make equipment and apparel for the U.S. military.
The 75,000-member California Nurses Association has joined the AFL-CIO. CNA President Roseanne DeMauro had praise for the AFL-CIO's new health care policy and says she's thrilled that the CNA is joining the AFL-CIO. The California Nurses Association has a national arm called the National Nurses Organizing Committee. It has members in all 50 states. CNA had been considering membership in the AFL-CIO for some time and made the move after the AFL-CIO Executive Council issued a statement supporting universal health care in Las Vegas. The CNA supports the House bill introduced by John Conyers that will create a single-payer universal national health care system. DeMauro says as the CNA joins the AFL-CIO, there are real opportunities to build a militant, united labor movement essential to the nation's future. New Haven, Connecticut Mayor John DeStefano opened fire on Yale New Haven Hospital this weekend for alleged violations of labor law and a truce agreement with the SEIU. DeStefano said the hospital was untrustworthy and has been misrepresenting the facts. The comments came after documents were released detailing anti-union tactics endorsed by a hospital vice president that included linking the union to the mafia. Jesse Russell has today's economic report.
Sexual harassment is up in the workplace, and it is men who are more often reporting being harassed. 15.4% of the 12,025 sexual harassment charges filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission came from men in 2006. That's up from 14.3% in 2005. According to the EEOC, the increase is most likely due to men being uncomfortable if they're in a situation where there's an abrasive code of masculinity.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org. Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
I love intros like this. You can just talk over them. Nobody starts singing for you. Oh, enough of the DJ stuff, Bob. This is Head On. Let's go right back to the phones. I've kept Sarge waiting far too long. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program. Sorry you had to wait so long, man.
Oh, no problem at all, Bob. You know, we were having a discussion in the chat about the military and the different branches. And you were talking about Peter Pace. Well, my good friend, the late David Hackworth, would call him a perfume prince, because all this man has ever been worth in the last number of years anyway has just been to be treated along, be given his little rank, and just move right on up by kissing everyone's butt in his way.
I had forgotten that phrase, Sarge, but yeah, I'd seen... you know, we miss, and it's times like this that we do miss people like Colonel Hackworth.
Yeah, I really miss him. I used to email him and say, "Look, Hack, I'm kind of confused on this issue. What in the world are these people doing?" And he'd email me back, who the hell knows? I miss him. He was funny, but you know, these people. I'm gonna make some people mad. I'm sorry. I'm an old Navy guy as well as Air Force guy, so I don't have much. I don't have much love for the Marines to start out with. But how smart do you have to be a bullet catcher? You know, and these guys, if you ever met one right out of boot camp, they will give you this gung ho and I'm a Marine. I'm a tough guy. I can withstand any kind of trash. And when I'd bump into them, I'd say, well, you know, you might can, but see, I don't have to because I'm staying the hell out of the way. So, when the Marine recruiters would come to me and ask me, well, don't you want to go in the Marines? I'd say, no, I don't. And they said, why? I said, because I got a brain. And, of course, then they'd start cussing me.
Well, you know, I remember a long time ago, we had all just graduated high school down here, and one of my very good friends went off to the Marine Corps. And it was the following summer, and we got together. There's a bunch of the river here is lined with very tall limestone bluffs. And there was a place where we all went to jump. And it was, you know, it wasn't Acapulco, but it was still pretty creepy. About once every 4 or 5 years, you'd get one of those newspaper stories, you know, teen pulled from river after bad jump. And this one particular friend of mine had always hesitated to jump. And he, by the time I saw him the next summer, he'd been through basic. And he just looked up and said, well, here I go. He said, man, you used to be a little nervous about this. He says, hell, I may die, but I'll still be a Marine.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Well,
and he, you know, he was that guy. He was fresh out of basic and, you know, full of piss and vinegar.
Yeah, it really, I mean, you know, I don't want to mislead anybody. What the Marines do, that's pretty brave stuff, and I give them credit. They're tougher than I am because I'm not going to put my butt on the line if I can avoid it, you know. But, hey, I guess somebody has to do it.
I guess the fundamental problem that I have, Sarge, is this idea of equating morality with sex.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Marine recruiter told me when he said, well, why are you going in the Air Force, boy? I said, because I don't want to be a Marine. He said, why don't you want to be a Marine? I said, because I can be a live airman a lot longer than I can be a dead Marine. And he said, oh, well, you're one of them sissies, huh? And I said, well, yeah, I guess I am. See you later, pal. But, you know, that is the mentality, and that's why I don't care for the Marines, because they got that mentality. Everything is macho, you know. Everything is so physical. And yet when you really get down to it, you can walk circles around them with your brain. So all you got to do is send them in there first to clear up things, and then you can come in behind them. You don't have to get in a fight. So, you know, it just, to me, it's just, you know, who wants to be a Marine? But that's me. But
I understand.
The military in itself, and I don't care what branch it is, the military really indoctrinates you. They brainwash you. They get inside your head. And most of the time when they tell you, well, you want to go because you want to get into this tech school or whatever they might call it, and so you can have a civilian skill, well, 9 times out of 10, whatever a person does in the military doesn't translate into a career as a civilian. In my field, I certainly didn't use what I was trained as. So, you know, that excuse, well, we'll teach you a trade, 9 times out of 10, they teach you a trade you're never going to use when you get out. So that's one thing I would tell people. Plus, the GI Bill today is a piece of crap. I mean, gee, I went to school under the old GI Bill, which was the Vietnam one.
Yeah.
And that was so much better. But after after us, they get this watered down version, and now they've got it to where, well, I'll tell you what, you pay $500 and we'll give you $10 to go along with it. So you're really not getting anything by joining the military. Why in the world would anybody want to join the military? The VA hospitals, gee, here I am, a two-service veteran, and you couldn't get me into a VA hospital for love nor money, because the last times I went, they near about killed me. So why do I want to go to a place that almost twice killed me? So, you know, what do you see in the military worth joining? You're not serving your country because they're throwing you over to be bombed and or shot up in Iraq. So, I mean, hey, what are you serving for? Nothing. And I just, you know, I just encourage all young people, find an alternative. Don't go in the military. It just isn't worth it. You're not serving your country. What you're serving is a bunch of rich traitors. And I just wholly endorse staying out.
Well said, Sarge.
All right, Bob, I'm going to let you go, and thanks so much. Oh, by the way, Steady said to tell you hi.
Oh, hey to Steady, man. How's
he
doing?
He'll be here in a few hours, and I will. He wanted me to tell everyone hello for him. So.
All righty. Well, I'll tell you what, Jim Yancey will have some help out of Steady.
Boy, won't he, though. I tell you what, I told Judy about Steady today. She and I were talking, and she said, man, when's he coming? I wish he'd hurry up and get here. We need him. And he will.
All right, Sarge.
They'll love him. Thank you, Bob.
All right. Take it easy now. Bye. And on to our good friend Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Oh, good evening.
How are you?
Reasonably well. Yourself?
Getting by.
Well,
looking forward to getting home.
I'm sure you are. I just heard the last caller, and I can appreciate what he said, but in addition to trying to teach people to think outside the box at certain levels of command, it's incumbent upon the military to brainwash you, too. And that's necessary, unfortunately, but that's just the way it works, because it's not your ordinary.
Well, it's been largely that way from Sparta forward, hasn't it?
Well, it has to be. It won't work any other way, unfortunately, because you have to obey orders, and you have to do so without question, and you have to do what you're told.
And the stick in that circumstance works far better than the carrot.
Pardon me?
I said, and in that circumstance, the stick works far better than the carrot.
Well, now, I will admit what he said is true about the GI Bill. He apparently used Chapter 32, and what is enforced now is Chapter 106 of the, what's called the MGIB, or the Sonny Montgomery Bill, okay, which is, provides a lot less. And the incentives are not nearly as good as they used to be. And in certain cases now, they are, you know, increasing all types of bonuses for certain MOSs in the Army. Now, I don't think they're doing it for the AFSCs in the Army and the Air Force. Now, MOS stands for Military Occupation Specialty, and Air Force,
right.
AFSC is Air Force Specialty Code. But the people they need are, of course, your Marine and your Army people. And that's where they're trying to put the most money to, give the most encouragement to, I guess. But unfortunately, as long as we have the world that we have and live in the world in which we live, we have to have men and women who are trained to stand on walls. And that's just the way it is. And I
understand that. With Peter Pace...
Don't steal my thunder. I was going to bring that up. I thought he was totally out of line in making that statement. Now, he has the right to that opinion, of course. And I think after he made that statement, he realized that he really screwed up and he should not have said what he said. But his words were very measured and very deliberate. But when it evoked the firestorm that it did, it really caused a lot of problems for him, and I'm sure, and he has tried to, as much as a four-star chief of staff can, recant or take back what he said about immorality and all this other stuff. I mean...
He still maintains, however, Jim, that he will not apologize for it.
Well, he can't.
He,
re-
He regrets having expressed his personal opinion.
He couldn't apologize now if he had to.
Why is that?
Because that's just the mindset of people like that. You do not get to be a 4-star general in the Marine Corps and chairman of the Joint Chiefs and apologize for what you say or do. That's just the way it is. And in order for you to understand it, you would have to follow his career path and his mindset and whatever makes him tick. I mean, I understand it. You don't.
No, I don't. It's so antiquated. I mean, I feel very comfortable in saying that if Peter Pace had a command during the Second World War, he's making the same old arguments. Having openly gay people in the military would be bad for morale and it would be bad for unit cohesion. That's the same thing they said about a racially integrated military, Jim.
Well, I know that. And it's been proven. The Pentagon has spent millions and millions of dollars on studies about the use of gays in the military. And they have taken the results of all these studies and they discarded them. And they have refused to heed them. And
because
they
the
spend
studies
millions of dollars more under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell program to follow people whose sexual orientation is of a questionable nature, and they spent millions more in getting them out of the service when they so desperately need people in the service. I mean, for example, I mean, how many times have I heard people talk about the translators who speak Farsi?
35 of them.
Yeah. So really, unfortunately, because of a hidebound mentality that is inherent in the structure, it's basically a very large Achilles heel. I mean, in other branches, in other countries, the Israeli army, they don't have any problem with gays serving in the military. And I've talked to you about this book before. It's called Conscious Unbecoming by Randy Schultz.
Uh-huh.
And he's the same guy who wrote And the Band Played On. He's long
right.
died of AIDS. But in Conduct Unbecoming, and I urge you to read this book, it gives you a number of cases of people since we've had a standing army of who have been gay and who have served with great distinction. And their service to this country has been invaluable. And unfortunately, the military is denying itself of a lot of prodigy because, you know, most of these individuals are, since they don't have the traditional family life of a heterosexual person, they really put a lot of emphasis on their career, take a lot of pride in their work.
Right. That's where their dedication, their devotion, and their heart really falls.
I mean, you know, look at the contributions that have been made in the arts and literature and things of that nature. You know, we wouldn't have a whole lot there if it weren't for a lot of gay people who have been tremendously talented, who have contributed to the mainstream of our culture. I would dare say the AIDS epidemic has really wreaked havoc on the visual and the performing arts, as well as other areas of the arts, because so many were taken back in the 80s.
Well, the military itself, Jim, is having a hard time getting hold.
It's called shooting yourself in the foot.
Precisely. Jim, we're out of time. We've got to go to the news, but thank you for your thoughts. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome, and I hope you have a pleasant evening. Good night.
All right. Bye now. They're having a hard time meeting recruiting goals, and they want to, well, that you understand. The news is next, and our conversation with Paul Waldman of Media Matters for America coming up in the next hour. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
I don't know what to do.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones Industrials lost more than 240 points today. The catalyst for the fall, the Mortgage Bankers Association reported new foreclosures hit an all-time high in the last quarter of last year. We'll have the closing numbers on Wall Street later in the newscast. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has admitted that mistakes were made in the firing of 8 federal prosecutors, but he's rejecting calls for his resignation. Just today, his chief of staff, resigned in connection with the controversial firings. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is not apologizing, as some gay advocacy groups requested. General Peter Pace says he was expressing his own personal opinions when he said homosexual behavior was immoral. President Bush made the final stop today on his Latin American tour, meeting with Mexico's President Felipe Calderon. The two promised to work on rebuilding relations strained over the issue of illegal immigration. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, a Shiite, visited Ramadi today, a Sunni stronghold west of Baghdad. It was his first trip to the volatile Anbar province. U.S. and Israeli ministers walked out of a 65-nation conference on disarmament in Geneva today. They left after Iran's foreign minister accused the two nations of posing the main threats to the Middle East's security. And Somalia's president was unscathed after militants fired mortars at his palace today in the capital city. The mortar fire, however, killed a 12-year-old boy. The British Foreign Secretary reports that 5 Europeans abducted in a remote region of Ethiopia are now free. They were held captive for 2 weeks. And a congressional panel today heard testimony about how the Veterans Administration is overwhelmed. Those testifying say programs need to be streamlined to help the huge number of injured troops returning from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the New York Times reports that even though alcohol is forbidden to U.S. troops stationed in Muslim Iraq and Afghanistan, it's increasingly involved in crimes committed by soldiers. Alcohol was cited in the prosecutions of more than a third of violent offensives. In Jerusalem, Israel's prime minister argued against the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq. There's Science and News coming up next.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually 2 clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just 2 clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just 2 clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
The FDA has approved a new drug to help treat an aggressive form of advanced breast cancer. GlaxoSmithKline's drug, Tycrib, is meant for women who've had prior treatment that failed to stop their cancer. The U.S. Humane Society today asked the Federal Trade Commission to fine big companies like Nordstrom's and Tommy Hilfiger who've been caught using dog fur on clothing advertised as decorated with artificial fur. The animal activists also want the company's Chinese dog fur inventories seized. Today, the UK became the first nation to set binding rules on greenhouse gas emissions. Carbon dioxide emissions must be cut by 60% by the year 2050. And Viacom is suing the video sharing website YouTube for $1 billion. Viacom claims widespread copyright infringement from the 160,000 unauthorized video clips YouTube has displayed. And in the last quarter of 2006, the number of late mortgage payments went up to a 3.5-year high. The number of new foreclosures rose to a record high. 1 in 200 U.S. borrowers are now facing foreclosure. And light sweet crude is trading at $57.93 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 243 points, the NASDAQ down 52, the S&P down 29. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Here I am. 5.5 minutes after the hour, and I'm glad I'm going straight to our conversation. I'm very happy to have online with me Paul Waldman, a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. A very important study released recently called If It's Sunday, It's Still Conservative, regarding the talk shows on Sunday. Mr. Waldman, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us, sir, and thank you for the work that you and all the others do at Media Matters. You've done it again. You pointed it out before the Democrats took control of the Congress, and it would appear that the right-wing bias is still the order of the day on the Sunday news programs. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. And you know, you point out that we've done this before. This is a follow-up to a previous study that we did that found there was a real dominance of Republican and conservative voices on the Sunday shows on Meet the Press and Face the Nation. And this week, we wanted to do this follow-up to see not only what's been happening in the last couple of years, but also what has happened since the November election when Democrats took over the both houses of Congress. Because you know, when we released our previous study, one of the things that we heard from the networks was, well, you know, it's because the Republicans are in control. That's why we have more Republican voices, because they control the White House, they control Congress, and so naturally they're going to get most of the invitations to appear on our shows. Well, Democrats took over, and what did we find? Well, only one of the shows, ABC's This Week, has really changed. They now have parity between Republicans and Democrats, between conservatives and progressives. The other three shows, however, have not really. Meet the Press, Face the Nation, and Fox News Sunday are all still dominated by conservative voices. And, you know, a lot of people may say, well, you know, I don't watch these shows, or their audience, the combined audience of the four shows is about 12 million people. So, well, what's the big deal, you know? More people watch American Idol. The importance of the Sunday shows is really that they set the agenda for Washington. Their audience may not be enormous, but it's a very elite audience. It's an important audience. It's watched by all the journalists, all the members of Congress, all the people within the Washington power structure, and it really does set the agenda for the news. It decides who's an important person who has to be listened to, what kinds of arguments need to be listened to, and if you get to appear on the Sunday shows, then you're going to be quoted in other news outlets, you're going to get invitations to other news programs, you're going to be quoted in the paper. Your voice is going to be an important voice. And the flip side of that, of course, is that if you're shut out, then you're someone who doesn't really need to be listened to. So it has a very important kind of agenda-setting function for the press as a whole. And when there's the dominance of one side of the debate, that really skews the entire political debate in Washington.
Could I ask you one question, please, Mr. Waldman? You've noted Meet the Press This Week, Face the Nation, and Fox News Sunday were all included in the study. How about the thing that Wolf Blitzer does? Why was that not there?
We started off by doing the broadcast programs. His show is called Late Edition, and we just didn't get around to including it. There wasn't anything really behind that decision about why we excluded CNN.
It's over the air versus cable then.
Yeah, that was sort of the basic thing, was that all those other four programs actually are broadcast, so they have a wider audience. Fox's show is shown on the Fox News Channel, but it's also shown on Fox broadcast stations.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess that was probably the reason, but I wanted to make sure. Do you reach any conclusions in the report, Mr. Waldman, as to the why of the reason that this is working out the way it does? I pointed out at the beginning of the program as you note, I think, in the report, on Meet the Press, the following Sunday after the Democrats took control of Congress, we were treated to John McCain and Joe Lieberman to comment on what it would mean. No Democrats in sight. Why? Where's it come from? Why has it happened?
Yeah, well, that was a pretty striking example. That right after the Democrats won Congress, they Meet the Press couldn't seem to find a Democrat. And you know, Tim Russert said on the air, "Well, we asked Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid to come, but they declined." Well, you know, obviously the phones of the bookers for Meet the Press don't self-destruct after one or two phone calls to a Democrat. Now, I live in Washington. Believe me, it is full of Democrats and progressives who would love to come on the Sunday shows. And, you know, ultimately, there may be any number of reasons why that dominance persists. I think a lot of it is that they kind of get caught up in just going back to the same sort of set of usual suspects time after time after time. You know, John McCain, for instance, has been on the Sunday shows over the last 10 years, I think something like 145 times. So it may be that their Rolodexes are pretty thin, and they just say, oh, well, we'll just go ahead and get McCain again. That may play a part of it, and I think that part of it also may be sort of self-perpetuating. You know, as I said, one of the things that these Sunday shows do is they validate someone's importance. And so when a certain group of people never gets on the shows and another group of people always gets on the shows, well, they begin to seem like the people who are important. And Sunday shows are going to keep going back to them because they are the important authoritative voices. And they get used to, you know, having representatives of the administration, but then not having a Democrat come on to counter them. And after a while, that just seems to be the norm. And, you know, I can't read the minds of the people who produce the shows, and we certainly don't allege that they're setting out, you know, intentionally to create a forum where only conservatives are allowed. But our hope is that they can look at the data that we've accumulated and say, okay, you know, there really is a problem, and we should, and maybe we need to do something to change it. And the fact that ABC News really did change after the election, that they've managed to put on a show where there's equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans and conservatives and progressives, means that it's really not that hard. The other shows could do it too, but they haven't done it yet.
Well, that's what makes me think that you know, and this is just my own paranoia, Mr. Baldwin, but that's what makes me think that there's something more nefarious at work here. That or something else that I've commented on from time to time, what appears to be a trend toward extreme laziness in what passes for journalism in this country. What you just described was, you know, they always pick up the phone at McCain's office, so I know I can always get McCain. That's lazy. That's not journalism. That's not work, is it?
No, I think you're absolutely right. It is laziness, and there are a lot of different areas in journalism where laziness has a really pernicious effect. But you know, as I said, I can't really read their minds, but I would hope that they would take what we've done and start to think about how they can really expand the range of people that they bring on the shows. Not just in terms of getting more balance, which they certainly need to do, but also just expanding the voices that come on to start to bring on people who haven't been on so many times. And, you know, let me give you another example. One of the things that we found is that there are around two conservative journalists who get on these shows for every progressive journalist who does. And so what do you have? You have these kinds of panels where you'll have a couple of reporters from places like the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, then paired up with a couple of conservative opinion columnists with no progressives in sight. And so after a while, who gets to seem like someone whose opinions are worth listening to? Well, it's people from conservative magazines like the National Review and the Weekly Standard, and you don't see people from the progressive magazines like the American Prospect and the Washington Monthly and Mother Jones. So those magazines begin within the Washington establishment to seem like they're not really all that important, whereas the conservative magazines are important. And after a while, that really perpetuates itself to the point where I think that, you know, it might be the case that the people who produce the shows, it hasn't even occurred to them to try to get somebody from the American Prospect to come on their show.
Well, there's an ethical component to what you just mentioned, because at that point it begins to be sort of a commercial boosterism for things like the National Review. And frankly, I last I checked, she's pretty well behaved. I've never seen Katrina Vandenhoevel just go out and lose her mind on a program or anything. She's perfectly acceptable, and she's incredibly intelligent.
And believe me, there are lots and lots of people who work at these, who write for these conservative, these progressive magazines, like the American Prospect, like the Nation, where Katrina Vandenhoevel comes from, like the Washington Monthly, and I know many of them, and they say that they'd be perfectly happy to go on, and they're extremely smart people who are eloquent, articulate, and have a lot of interesting things to say, but they just have never gotten those invitations.
But this confers, this does, I think it's clear from what you're saying, this has a de facto conference of validity on these points. By the silence, the silence tells America that it's not even worth discussing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And think about how it can skew different debates. I think this really has a wide-ranging effect. You know, one of the things you saw before the Iraq War and the run-up to the Iraq War was that there were very few people who came on the Sunday shows who were opposed to the war. There were different varieties of support that were represented there, but the vast majority of guests during the run-up to the Iraq War were supporters in one form or another. And so that opinion didn't seem like it was very important or didn't seem like it needed to be taken seriously. And so for a long time, it was kind of accepted that people who were opposed to the war were not really serious voices. And we still see that. It's one of the most incredible things within American politics today, is that still to this day, people who were wrong about every single thing about the Iraq War are considered to be quote-unquote serious and credible voices on national security and foreign affairs. And the people who are right about everything, well, they're just fringe characters who don't really need to be taken seriously, despite the fact that they were right about everything, and now their view has been vindicated, and they now have the support. They're sitting alongside the vast majority of the American public. Whereas those people like William Kristol, the Weekly Standard, who were wrong about everything, they're still considered important, and they still get those invitations. It's truly amazing.
William Kristol gets paid to be astonishingly wrong. I mean, not just, you know, we're not talking about the shades of gray. We're talking about diametrically opposed to what turned out to be correct. And he's making a fortune on it, and other people are too. And, you know, I guess God bless him for being able to. But at some point in time, if these are going to be journalistic enterprises, Mr. Walden, they have got to be at least marginally interested in being factual.
One would hope, and I hope that that the changeover in Congress and the data that we've accumulated. And by the way, if people want to read the report, they can go to SundayShowReport.com and they can read the whole thing. We're hoping that they'll take this opportunity to really examine what they've been doing and see if there's something they do need to do to change.
Well, you say that you hope. Are you getting any kind of response? What kind of response did you get the first time you did the report? And are you getting any kind of response thus far on this update?
Well, the first time when we contacted them, they said that they gave us a variety of responses, but mostly were centered around the idea that, well, the Republicans are in power. You know, we're at war, and they control the Congress and the White House, so they're the ones who get most of the invitations. This time around, we are still waiting. We've tried to contact them. We haven't gotten any answers. I know that there have been some reporters who've written stories about our report in the last couple of days since it came out. I guess it came out yesterday, in the last day or two, and that I have yet to see anywhere where the networks have actually given a response. And maybe that's because they don't really have anything to say. So hopefully somebody will manage to get them on the record, and we'll see what they have to say about it.
I remember, and I'm bearing in mind, of course, that we are talking about over-the-air broadcast, but I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he worked for MSNBC on the long now defunct the Phil Donahue program, and he wrote a book and came out and said directly that they were editorially compelled that for every liberal or progressive they had on the program, they had to counterbalance it with two conservatives. The numbers that I'm looking at in your report look shockingly similar to the account he gave.
Yeah, I think you're talking about Jeff Cohen,
who
was one of the producers of that show. And the Phil Donahue show on MSNBC is a really interesting case. His show was canceled by MSNBC right before the Iraq War started, despite the fact that he had, at the time, the highest-rated show on MSNBC. And later on, some memos surfaced from consultants who did analysis for the network that told them that while all the other cable networks were waving the flag, MSNBC didn't want to seem like it was a home for some kind of anti-war opinion, and it was very dangerous to have Phil Donahue on there because of that. And the network ended up canceling their highest-rated show, apparently because they were worried that he was too much of an opponent of the administration as we were marching to war. That was a very disturbing incident. And now, we recently counted up, there are now 13 different shows on cable news that are hosted by a conservative with the primary purpose of giving that conservative's opinions. There are no shows on cable news that are hosted by a liberal that have the primary purpose of giving that liberal's opinions. None. The one thing that sometimes conservatives point to is Keith Olbermann, who is critical of the administration at times, but his show doesn't sit there for an hour the way, say, Bill O'Reilly's does, or Joe Scarborough's does, or Glenn Beck's does, and just let him spout off with his opinions. So you have this unbelievable imbalance on the cable news networks, and that is really something that needs to be addressed also.
Well, this stuff is all, of course, commercial television, even if it's, you know, Archer Daniels, Midland, or ConAgra advertising on Face the Nation, or Tim Russert, or Meet the Press. Is there some sort of, I mean, have you been able to identify, Mr. Walden, is there some sort of commercial bias against liberal or progressive thought? Is that part of this?
You know, I don't know. We certainly haven't been able to identify that. And to an extent, it doesn't really even matter all that much what the motivations are. What matters is the effect. And I think that you can put pressure on the networks, hopefully from many different areas. We're hoping that ordinary people will start to write them and call them, that members of Congress will get involved, and they'll start to contact them and demonstrate to them that they are not serving the public. And ultimately, I can't read anyone's mind. I don't know what goes on in the meetings when they decide to book guests. But at the end of the day, what's happening and what those people feel and what their own opinions about politics are, where those pressures are coming from, doesn't matter as much as what the effects are. And I'm hopeful that we can get them to change whatever the pressures are that they're under. Obviously, if there are commercial pressures that work against a balanced programming, that's a serious problem. And that means that those people who I think consider themselves to be serious journalists, who do have a commitment to serving the public, that means that they're failing. And they need to be called to account for that.
I can't help but be a little bit skeptical, just because I do recognize that NBC is owned by General Electric. General Electric is the single largest defense contractor in the United States and is profiting mightily from this war. I can't escape the fact that makes my eyebrows go up when I see the way that the progressive or the liberal point of view is treated on a show like Meet the Press. It seems, I don't know, it almost seems to follow one from the other. You're absolutely correct about the effect being the ultimate measurement. I think about a man like Dennis Kucinich, who was 100% correct on everything he said about the Iraq War, and was painted as some sort of wild-eyed proto-communist. You know, do you really believe that people writing emails, writing letters, making phone calls can get voices like that heard, on broadcast media?
Well, I think if you talk to the people who work at these programs, what they would probably say is, well, we don't get that kind of pressure from our corporate parent. That, you know, the head of General Electric is not calling up the executive producer and Meet the Press and telling her who she should put on her program every week, and we're insulated from that because we're a serious news show, we're real journalists and we have a commitment to journalism. I think that's what they would say. And so if that's the case, and that's really what they think they're doing, then you have to call them to account and make them basically put their money where their mouth is. And if that means that you're going to encourage some kind of a conflict between the show and the corporate parent, well, then maybe that needs to happen so that they are willing to publicly make some kind of a commitment. You know, one of the things that we were happy about when we did our original study on the Sunday shows was that we did get them on the record, and they said that there were more Republicans on their shows because the Republicans were in power. Well, now that there are more Democrats, they've essentially laid down a marker that they are going to have a commitment to having some balance on the shows that reflects the realities of power in Washington. And the current realities of power in Washington are that the Democrats have one end of Pennsylvania Avenue and the Republicans have the other. So because those shows have said publicly that that's the principle they operate on, if they're going to have any shred of integrity, they're going to have to do something to change their actions. And you know, ABC News has already done that, and that really demonstrates that it's not all that hard. That, you know, that program this week with George Stephanopoulos is now giving a balanced presentation. So it's just as easy for Meet the Press or Face the Nation to do the same thing. So hopefully by bringing these things to light, we'll put a little pressure on them just by being, by having this data out there, being in the public eye, and forcing them to take a stand on whether or not they're going to offer a balanced program.
I sincerely hope that you are correct, because it makes me crazy. I'm one of those 12 million people. I'm a news junkie. I tune in, and, you know, there sits McCain, or there sits any number of right-wing pundits. And I keep wondering, because, you know, I'm an American citizen, you know, I love my country, and I happen to disagree strongly for not only principled but logical reasons with much of what they say. And I gotta think, you know, you guys are there at Media Matters, and there are Americans across the fruited plain who are also hungry for a little bit. At this point, I'm talking about honesty. I mean, this isn't just validation of ideas, Mr. Walden. This is really, these are honesty and integrity issues, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that the conservatives have been very successful for a long time in putting pressure on the media, and when they started it, that project, they knew that it was going to take a long time. It's something that they've been working on for 30 years now. They knew that if they kept constant pressure on the media that they could force them to bend over backwards to show that they don't have a liberal bias by being tough on Democrats. That has been a very successful campaign that the conservatives undertook, but it's something that they knew going in was going to be a long-term project. It wasn't going to happen overnight. You know, I wrote a whole book about the lessons that progressives can learn from conservatives. It's called Being Right Is Not Enough, and I think that progressives need to take that to heart and to say, okay, you know, we're going to start to put the same kind of pressure on the media because we know where they're falling short, but we have to acknowledge that putting that pressure is not something that is necessarily going to yield results in a week. There may be victories, small victories along the way, but it's a long-term project. Like everything in politics, it takes a long time. When you're building a movement and you want really meaningful change, you have to be willing to commit to doing something over the long term. And so we think that projects like this one and what we do every day at Media Matters are steps along the way to really get the media to where we want it to be, but we know that it's not going to happen overnight.
The American impulse toward instant gratification is not going to be satiated on this issue, is it?
Well, you know, that certainly is a problem that we have in a lot of areas of our lives. But you know, that's how you build a successful movement, a political movement, is to realize that your victories aren't going to come in a day or a week or even in one election. They happen over decades. And I think the conservatives have been one of the things that's made them so successful is that they had that kind of long-term commitment. They knew that the things that they wanted to do weren't going to happen in a year or 20 years or sometimes even 30 or 40 years, but they were willing to put in that effort knowing that it would happen down the road.
So I take it then that this is an ongoing project at Media Matters for America. This thing may be updated in a year and a half. Am I correct in that?
We're certainly going to continue to monitor it. And see if things change, and hopefully we won't have to do another one of these. Maybe not. You know, we can be optimistic, but we are certainly going to keep monitoring the media in every way that we can. You know, if people go to mediamatters.org, they can see all the different ways that we monitor the media every day. There are a lot of different areas in which there are problems that we're looking to address.
Well, everything that gets done there at Media Matters is vital. It's a profound resource for this program and the other programs on this network. And I thank you very much for all the hard work that you and all the other people there do. This is a long time coming, long overdue, and I'm just so glad that you're there. And I really appreciate you joining us this evening.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
All right, take care.
Bye bye.
Bye now. Paul Waldman, Senior Fellow at Media Matters for America. Go read the report, SundayShowReport.com. It's abundantly clear that there is no, that balance is something that has not been achieved. You've got some steps along the way from the ABC show this week. But if you read the data the way that I did, it looks like what? Balance? Fairness? This week and Meet the Press, and Fox News Sunday. Yeah, you know, balance just watching. So with that having been said, we will take a break and come back. We will finish out the program. Your calls, if you feel so compelled, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is America's liberal voice. And we're glad to have people like Media Matters for America around. It makes our liberal job considerably easier. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Before the hour, and we go straight to the phones. Bob is calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling, man.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
Well, I'm still here. They ain't rounded me up and hauled me away yet.
Every day above the dirt's a good one, Bob.
Well, yeah, I got friends that don't have that luxury. But let me tell you something. I am an FMF Marine. I've always been an FMF Marine. I was an FMF Marine when I joined the Corps. I was an FMF Marine when I left the Corps. I've always been Fleet Marine Force. It ain't Pentagon. It ain't got nothing to do with that
princes?
No. That strange box. You you got a four-sided box. It's a box. You know, you got sides. You got a bottom. You got a top. But in that strange little box, they got strange little people. And I have to say this. I have to steal a line from a general that was in the field talking to these talking points Marines, these talking points Army, these talking points, these people they put up in front of the camera that are, you know, waxed and polished, and they got all their brass and everything in pretty little rows, like that Peter Pace. I wouldn't salute him on the worst day in hell. I wouldn't salute him. I might turn him around and put a boot in the best part of his anatomy that would actually take some effect, because in the Fleet Marine Force, in FMF, we don't play games. We fight wars. We take on enemies. And you people have sent my FMF, my Fleet Marine Force, against people, women and children, and you make all these funny little things. And I only have to steal one line to send to one of them Pentagon wannabes. And I don't really believe that this individual ever served this nation, as most real red-blooded Americans want to serve and take care of their fellow Americans. I don't believe it's so. I think it's a bunch of bovine scatattle, Jim. It's bovine scatattle that you spread on this net. You come on here with bovine scatattle. And I stole that from one of those generals that you are so proud of. But at least he was in the field, and I don't believe you ever served in a combat zone. I think you only dreamed you were there. And I'm speaking to one of the listeners. I know it's not, it's verboten, it's forbidden. But Bob, tonight I heard a bunch of it. And I have to confess, I'm tired of listening to the bovine scatattle. And that young man you just said on the air, the one with all of the knowledge, all of the real research facts, and he had sentient things to say, things that meant something. It wasn't like, oh, gee, I used to do this back in the day. It's like, this is what's happening now, folks. This is what's going on. And if you don't listen to this young man from, what was that name of that website again?
MediaMatters.org.
MediaMatters.org. These young people, they have put their heart and their soul, and not only that, but their intellect and their intelligence into something, and they're ferreting out the facts, and they're putting them before you. And if you don't listen to MediaMatters.org and you don't go into it and find out for yourself, you're just like, what was that thing that show that my most favorite Vietnam show was, that one with that oh goodness gracious, stupid does.
Oh,
Forrest Gump. Yeah. Well, at least he was, you know, he was physically and mentally challenged, but he stood, Bob, for something, and he was a good man that was drawn into a stupid, useless, wasteful war, the same one that I was. But I went in there wide awake, and I believed what I was being told by these. Well, they weren't called fascists back then; they were called Republicans, you know. And they really were, because if you. stop and think about how Johnson started the damn thing. Johnson was drawn in by a bunch of people and forced to start a war that, you know, because they were the up and comers. They were those people that Dwight David Eisenhower warned us against. They were those people that drew Johnson into that war. They were the, what do they call them now? Huh?
Which?
This military-industrial complex?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what has drawn us into it. And the Pentagon is part and parcel of the military-industrial complex. They force these wars on us people. They really do. They have done it since they took the reins back in, what was it, the 1950s? Early 1950s, right after Korea. They kind of took the reins from the people of this country in the form of, well, we'll co-opt this government and we'll just kind of, you know, and then came along this guy by the name of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And he said, you know, hey, let's get out of this thing. Let's not go into this Vietnam.
He got dead.
Huh?
And he got dead.
He got dead, but who killed him? And nobody knows. They blame it on
Bob, let me ask you a question real quick, okay? Mm. And this is in regard to what Peter Pace said today about that, and he says now that he should have focused more on military regulation and not given his personal feelings. In other words, Tim Hardaway defense, the guy from the NBA who said he shouldn't have given his personal feelings. When the bullets are flying, and I ask this sincerely, and I have no, and I'm asking you because you've done it and I haven't. When the bullets are flying and stuff is blowing up, do you really honestly give a damn how the guy next to you shooting back has sex?
Bob, I'm going to tell you about a dear friend of mine, okay? And I won't give you his...
I mean, I don't ask that rhetorically. No, I really want to know.
I want to tell you something about a dear friend of mine. He's he won the Silver Star in Vietnam by saving several other soldiers' lives, okay? And he's a dear friend of mine, and I'm not going to give his name, like I said, but it was years later, you know, that I found out, because we were talking, and, you know, and he was always very soft. I mean, he was gentle with people. And he went out under withering fire and dragged back three living Marines that had been wounded severely and saved their lives and won the Silver Star for doing that under withering fire. I'm swearing to God, there was machine gun fire from every... And dragged them back and won the Silver Star. And hey, that was wonderful. It was like, hey... And we became close friends, and he never let on that he was gay. And I ran into him here some years later in a veterans hospital, and he was having surgery. And we spent some time there together, and then he not confessed. That's the wrong word. He told me about himself and his life that he had lived since he had been a United States Marine. And then I looked at him and I said, what's that mean, anything? You know, and it just, he broke down in tears and he put his arms around me and hugged me like I was his brother. But, you know, there was no him any day, and I'll salute him. But Peter Pace, I'd put a boot in his whatever patoot. Any time I'd meet him, I don't give a hoot in hell how many stars he wears or how many stripes I don't have. I'll put him square. I'll put a 12.5 square between his cheeks and send him into hell. But that young Marine that fought beside me and saved lives may have been gay that I did not know at the time, but later found out and found out, hey, it didn't matter. See, there's the difference between me and Peter Pace. I am an FMF Marine. I'm a fighting Marine. I'm a Marine that fights. I'm not a Marine that stands still and waits. And I don't give a damn if they're gay or straight. If they have the courage of my friends and the convictions that we hold that this country, the United States of America, and the Constitution for which we swore an oath is more important than the officers or civilians that we serve. We serve the Constitution of the United States first, because that's what we raise our right hand to and swear an oath to. We don't swear an oath to officers or what they call them, gentlemen. These people are not gentlemen, Bob. They are no men. They are not even men. Most of them have never served and have no idea of what it takes to put your life on the line. And I don't care, gay or straight, if you value and love your nation, and above that, above your nation, love your family, because your family is your nation, and they're your progeny, your children, your wife. Those are the things you love, or your partner. You know, they don't even allow them to call each other spouse. They don't allow a gay man to have.
Well, that was. Yeah, that was the fascinating thing out of what Peter Pace said, Bob, was that he equated gay people with people who commit adultery. Well, you know, okay, fine. If that's how you feel, Bob, General Pace, Bob, then get out in the Bob, front of the line and demand that they be allowed to marry.
Bob, stop, okay? In order to commit adultery, you have to be married to another person and then have sex with a person that you're not married to, and that's committing adultery. There's a difference. See, and that's the stupidity of this man. And like I was saying, Peter Pace is worse than Forrest Gump, because he is stupid as a stupid does. He really is stupid when he makes statements like that. He is not an intelligent man, nor is he a fighting Marine, because we fight for values, for something that has behind it something worthwhile. And we believe, we don't actually know that the United States is the best nation on earth. We believe it to be. We do not know it for a fact, because we are not of another nation. We are of the United States, and we believe the United States and the people of the United States to be the greatest people on earth, because we're the melting pot. We accept the Muslims and the Jews, and we accept them as fellow citizens. We accept the thing about George Bush down there in Argentina, or down there in South America? He has his problem with these Mayan priests, because they're cleansing the place that he may have walked, or they're sprinkling their holy water.
He desecrated their holy ground.
To rid their holy ground of this filthy beast called George Bush. Well, good God, Bob, why doesn't our Democratic Congress and Democratic Senate rid this nation of this filthy beast by sprinkling something on him called impeachment? Which is
here, Bob. Here. Well said. And we've got, but I got to roll on. I got two more calls to hit. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for everything you said, Bob. That's good stuff, and that's profound. Thank you
much. Bye-bye.
Take care. And Michelle is calling in. Michelle, welcome to the program.
Oh, you guys needed to keep talking a little bit. Agnes and I were chatting, but that's okay. No, I miss you guys. I've missed you guys so much. Never get to catch the show. Always seem to be caught doing something else. And I've been wanting to call in, and this kind of goes along with this Pace. That's his name.
Mm-hmm. Peter Pace.
Yeah. I had brought up yesterday with Mark Levine the subject of the abuse of female officers, military officers, in the military. And, you know, one of your callers earlier in the last part of last hour was talking about excuses for this man. You know, he's old school, or, you know, that's the military. And that's really what I got a problem with. I've got a problem with how our military is defined and what it is to be anymore. I mean, the training, the help after serving in wars, the fact that people in power in our government don't think twice. I mean, so many times, where's the diplomacy? The last thing we should do is ever go to some kind of combat situation. We all, Americans, should know that after watching relatives in the Vietnam War and non-relatives, innocent people killed at our hands. And, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm having a hard time finding excuses just because they're taught this. I mean, haven't we been taught differently in our lives? Are all the enlisted people that do such things, that say such things, were they just damn abused when they were children? Really, maybe we should stay out of war and get the psyche of our society. I don't know, Bob. I'm having a hard time with this.
I understand. I have a hard time on a number of levels with that exact kind of thinking, Michelle. Last week we had the story of a little Canadian boy, Canadian-born boy, born to Iranian parents, who is at present permanently, for all intents and purposes, incarcerated at the T. Don Hutto Family Detention Center in Taylor, Texas. Now, he's not charged with anything. He's just being held there because his parents were trying to sneak into Canada for the sake of freedom.
Right.
Now, that is an evil and a wicked place, Michelle.
Yeah.
The T. Don Hutto Family Detention Center. And with that in mind, you know, nobody is stronger in standing up for working people in this country than me and the rest of the folks here on the Horn. But bearing all that in mind, at some point in the contemplation of a story like that of this little child, I ask myself, who in the name of all that's holy, though desperate for a paycheck they may be, can stand, Michelle, to work at the T. Don Hutto Family Detention Center? How do you come home at the end of the day and kiss the kids, knowing what you have done during working hours?
Oh,
how do you do that?
Yeah,
and it's a real disconnect for me.
Yeah, I mean, you can study psychology, sociology, all these things. The only reasoning that I can come up with is we've got some really mentally messed up people. And is it all based on our tortured views of sexuality? I mean, come on. We torture our kids with these, I hate to say it, with these moral infractions that they make in the beginning of their lives, you know, because of our religious beliefs or our upbringing. I mean, what are we producing here? It's time to stop.
It is.
Stop and stop looking.
You meant,
you know?
Yeah, you mentioned sexuality, and I talked last night on the program about all these fundamentalists running around scared to... And they all operate on the same assumption, whether it's General Peter Pace or whether it's these fundamentalist freaks. They think about sex, and immediately the only thing they can think about, Michelle, is the idea that's all there is. I mean, they assume that if a child gets a drug, it's going to make them go have sex. People assume that if we allow people to live their lives openly and serve their country while doing so, that's going to make them suddenly have orgies in foxholes. It's a twisted, sick kind of... you can't call it reasoning.
No, to me, it's really propaganda.
Yeah.
I really see it as propaganda. I see what they're saying as, and in the sense of, you know, this has been going on for a few hundred years, the whole tortured view of sexuality, you know. But I see it as propaganda because the fact is our society went through kind of an evolution in the 60s, and they oppressed it instead of coping with it and reasoning and finding, you know, because of those in control felt as though they were out of control. So I see what they're doing is total propaganda, hate speech. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, this case guy must have been having dinner with Rose, you know, before he went out and said that. I mean, I have to believe that because I know I talk to a lot of people. You know, we're not all that tortured, are we?
No. No, I don't think we are. Michelle, we're out of time, though, and I've got to run on. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Oh, and I just love you guys. And I love you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, we're out of time, but since we are on this theme, I want to finish with one last thing. Our good friend Sue down on Big Coal River sent me this yesterday evening, and I didn't get to it, and it fits so well here. Sue says there was a very sad story in the Gazette, the Charleston Gazette, yesterday. The most decorated American Indian from the Vietnam era died the day before from complications caused by Agent Orange. He had a Purple Heart, 5 Bronze Stars, 5 Silver Stars, all won when he was 18 years old. He made a statement one time that war was not hell, it was worse. He was, and this is the part that makes you want to scream, he was on the list for a kidney transplant and died of renal failure. And Sue asks, by the way, how long did the federal government deny that Agent Orange affected our troops? Wow. The Charleston Gazette, Charleston, West Virginia. Probably an AP story. I wish I knew the man's name. I'll try to find out. He deserves to have his name mentioned. He died for want of a kidney. Amazing. Thanks, everyone, for joining in this evening. Thank you to Agnes, my producer. Thank you to John Fox. Many, many thanks to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, who takes care of the podcast, the archives, and the streams of all the programs on the Horn. Thanks to Peter Godbold. Thanks to the moderators, ELO, Lottie, the rest of you. Don't have the screen in front of me right now. Thanks to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters, who are building the American dream and helping us build this network. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Dems abandon war authority provision. Halliburton's Dubai move sparks U.S. political ire. Gonzalez accepts resignation of his top aide. Pace expresses regret over gay remark. Pelosi hears boos at AIPAC. Virginia orders, VA hospital orders reviews of 1,400 clinics. Dan Rather says journalism has lost its guts. Report shows Russia warns Iran of irreversible consequences. Mexico objects to alleged border incursion over fire. Edwards pushed into backing Iraq war. A new poll shows parties differ on 2008 prospects.